people say, how long does it take to change a habit? Now, what that is, you know, people go, I've heard it's 21 days. I've heard it's 66 days. I've heard it's 3 months. I've heard it's 1 month. I've heard once you get over the 3-day hump, it's really like the whole thing is what I've realized is that as human beings and in this, what I've heard referred to as like the microwave mentality, we want to push it in, push a button, wait 2 minutes and then have it just be easy.
Right.
A lot of people in their habit change journey, myself included, I spent years looking for hacks. I wanted to find the thing that was going to make it easy because I was the furthest thing from a morning person, like the furthest thing.
Today's interview is about habits. Do you have good habits or do you have bad habits or do you have no habits? I had the amazing pleasure to interview a man named Brian Drury, who is a motivational habit authority and a coach as well. And he coaches people one-on-one and he coaches people in a group. And I first met Brian at an event called 10K Speeches, which was held in Arizona, I believe in 2016. Or 17, I could be wrong. And I met him prior to this event, this amazing event, where I got to actually see him speak. And he has a motivational talk called When I First Saw My Dad Cry, and I'll put it in links below, I hope I'm saying it right, but it was on Goldcast. And it's a great 5-7 minute speech that might change the way you perceive things and perceive your life. I definitely encourage you and inspire you to go watch this. And stay to the end to really get what the meaning of that message was. And I got to meet Brian right outside of a conference room, and we actually shared some time together. And I first met him when he walked up to this group, and I was hanging out with a small group, Jason Goldberg and some other people. And Jason Goldberg is a coach online. If you type him up, you'll find out. And Brian came up with this big energy and this big enthusiastic smile, and he was sculpted. And you know, he gave Jason a big hug, and Jason said, man, he's one of the best huggers on the planet. And then I looked at him, I said, yeah, I'm voted as one of the best huggers on the planet. He said, really? Then we gave each other a hug, and we bonded a little bit. We had some male bonding. Ended up hanging out and talking, but furthermore, I met him at this event, and it changed my life, because I created a relationship with this gentleman who is now an amazing public speaker. He has a habit transformation course. If you're struggling with habits and you're struggling with keeping consistent with habits, I would definitely encourage you to go to overcominggraduation.com. And Brian has this amazing download, which gives you literally 5 simple chapters that will help you increase habit change in your life. So without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy the interview, and I look forward to hearing what you guys say in the comments below afterwards. We're here with Brian Drury. He's a habit transformation coach, and he's pretty much dominating habits. And he has this system that he has put together. And, you know, off the bat, what's your website?
Website's overcominggraduation.com. That's my general site. And if people are looking for that kind of next level, it's overcominggraduation.com/MYD, which is for Master Your Day. That's the product that's just launched in beta test and that I'm, you know, enhancing and working with my beta testers now. And I've made it open to the public if they want to get in at the beta test level. And it's very exciting. It's a lot of years of work coming together. So it's I'm very stoked about it.
Yeah, and you have this amazing PDF because I've downloaded it and saved it to my computer. And it's just such simple, easy things that you can put into play that if you look at it, like getting your morning routine, like spot on, there's certain things that'll just, you know, start you for the day, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a phenomenal thing you're doing. I just had the honor of watching you speak at Penn State online. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And
thank you.
I mean, guys, like, I will put some of these notes up underneath in the, what do you call it? Not the comments.
Show notes.
And maybe I'll convert some of this, but you can actually download the PDF of Brian's habit transformation. And, you know, habits are the things that get you to where you're going. Yep. More than anything, right? Like, habit is another word for addiction, maybe. What would you say about that?
That one I'd actually push back on.
Okay.
Because habit, well, you know what? As I think about it more, I think I see where you're going in that addiction would be something that we do without thinking. But I think that's the main, but I think addiction has too much of a negative connotation in that addiction is something we do without thinking that is detrimental to us. Whereas a habit is something that we work to make automatic or do without thinking that should be beneficial or could be. I think habit could go either way. You know, you say I have the habit of overeating or I have the habit of getting up, you know, early in the morning, which one could be bad, one could be good. But addiction has that negative connotation. So where I look at it, I think of habit in the way of, you know, I love what Jocko Willink says, where he says discipline equals freedom. I love where the quote, we become what we do habitually. And if I realized over years of coaching and learning and going to seminars and working with my own coaches and studying this stuff inside and out, I realized everything that I struggled with or that I face as challenges, if I could get the habits right, if I could get the day to day, if I could get those momentary decisions right and the mindset right, all of a sudden I'd be able to shift those bigger picture things. Because many times I think, what I didn't realize early on was that habit change isn't just about, you know, getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth. It's also about the ways we think and the way we perceive challenge, the way we respond to challenge, and the way we respond to adversity. And I think many people think that the only, like, you're born with it. So either you're a risk taker or you're not, or, you know, you're able to handle rejection or you're not. But like anything else, if we look at these things as habitual behaviors and habitual responses, then we go, okay, great. It's not who I am. It's a habit. And like any other habit, it can be changed. And that's part of why I put together this PDF to compile some of the best lessons I've learned and give someone something free that's totally accessible, and some subsequent emails with videos that even expand on the concepts more, so that people can get that like instant value and that starter kit to really get going.
Right. Because most people look at it and say, oh yeah, I know that. But when you say, I know, you're like cutting yourself off to actually know it. But when I was going down your PDF list, I was like, yeah, right. A cold shower, even though that was suffering, you know, you can kind of like beta test your own cold shower and kind of like turn it up and test it. Maybe, you know, there's certain things where you could put it on a scale of 1 to 10, where like everything, like, I wake up at 5 a.m. That's the time I wake up at, and it doesn't matter like if I'm exhausted or not, but I've, you know, done that. And then, you know, you can look at your PDF and kind of see, you know, what do I want to try? Let me try just one thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because people usually can adapt, would you say 1, 2, or 3 habits? After 3, it gets like chaotic, right? If they haven't done them all at once, what would you say to that?
Yeah, so what's interesting when you get into any area of study with depth is you're going to start to find things that contradict. Mm-hmm. So you're going to start to see a very common, I'm going to get back to your question because this is just a little aside, because people say, how long does it take to change a habit? Now, what that is, you know, people go, I've heard it's 21 days. I've heard it's 66 days. I've heard it's 3 months. I've heard it's 1 month. I've heard once you get over the 3-day hump, it's really like the whole thing is what I've realized is that as human beings and in this, what I've heard referred to as like the microwave mentality, we want to push it in, push a button, wait 2 minutes, and then have it just be easy.
Right.
A lot of people in their habit change journey, myself included, I spent years looking for hacks. I wanted to find the thing that was going to make it easy because I was the furthest thing from a morning person, like the furthest thing. Like you heard in my speech, I said I was like the Michael Phelps of snoozing. Like, yeah. You know, I would have medaled if it was an Olympic event because I just had never been a morning person. I was tired in every high school class. I was late every day to high school. I was late in college. And I was looking for the thing, you know, was it going to be a certain type of alarm or putting my phone across the room that was going to make it suddenly easy for me to get up? And one of the biggest shifts came in shifting my expectations about what I was going to do. Rather than it have to be, I'm going to spring out of bed with all the energy and life in the morning, and I'm just going to be ready and on fire. Similar to what you said, I said, all right, my expectation now is to get up no matter how I feel, regardless of how I feel. And then I started to look at, okay, if I'm, so a lot of people, this is really interesting with my clients, because a lot of times we'll work together for a week or two and all of a sudden their morning routine will shift dramatically. Now they've got 2 extra hours in the morning or an hour and they're like, now I don't know what to do with all this time. And that's part of what the PDF goes into. It's like, let's identify the steps prior to habit change that most people don't even think about. Then let's go into what's the habit you want to change. And then how do you structure the day to day? Because if you don't have all those pieces like together, I find that it falls off. So with a system and with a process, a way to track, manage, and keep yourself accountable, I think we can take on more than one habit at a time. Here's the caveat. The number of habits we take on is one piece. The other thing is the size or the degree of habit change that we're trying to implement. So a lot of times people will say, a big one, I want to get in shape. And the only time I can do that is in the morning. So now, you know what? I'm going to get up in the morning, work out for 2 hours every day, having, you know, in the past 6 months, maybe never worked out at all. And we've all been there. We've had those long stretches off and then we're going to come back. And in our minds, we're like, well, if I work out for 2 hours every day, then I'll be back to where I was before I had that time off, maybe in like a month. And that is, and what we're trying to do is shortcut it and skip things. So the other thing is people don't realize, when we go to shift a habit like that, like I want to change my entire morning routine and go to the gym, it's not one habit. It's multiple habits stacked together. So if we chunk it down and take on small pieces of the habit at a time and build incrementally, and we're focused on the long game and actually shifting our identity, not just getting an outcome, we're much more likely to succeed. If we said, okay, I'm going to change my whole diet and my exercise, and I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to do this, that generally leads to overwhelm, and people will maybe do it for a day or two, and then, or even stop before they start because their amygdala gets triggered, and they're like, I can't do this. This is too much. Mm-hmm. If we took on 3 micro habits or Kaizen habits, as it says in the book, One Small Step Can Change a Life, that's absolutely doable. Because if you're saying, okay, instead of trying to get to the gym every morning, I'm going to, you know, and work out for 2 hours. You say for the first week, I'm going to get up and just put on my workout clothes. Because that requires you to have the workout clothes clean, have them available, and get up and do that before you start your day. Then you start to build these foundational habits that build up to the bigger one that you want. That can totally be doable. But, and this is where we start to hit the contradicting stuff. Many people will tell you that putting your focus in too many areas degrades your ability, your conscious attention, and your ability to focus on that one area. So if I start to take on, like we were just talking about in pre-show, you know, being an entrepreneur and you have 5 different areas, you want to do a podcast and a book and you want to launch a new product, but you want 3 tiers of products because you want your high, your mid, your low, and then you want this, and then you want this, and you try to do all that simultaneously, generally leads to burnout and nothing ever fully getting done. Or you're like good, like the podcast keeps coming out, but the product just keeps getting pushed out. It's that type of thing. Mm. So with habit change, I think we can do several small goals at once, which is like what I've done and what I help my clients do. And I show them how to track it and, you know, the app that I use and everything. But then when it comes to goal setting, I think narrowing our focus can be super, super powerful. My buddy Jason Goldberg says, rather than focus on work-life balance, he likes to focus on immersion and another I word that I'm blanking on. Immersion, essentially it's putting a concentrated amount of time and specific focus on one thing and then completing it and moving to the next.
Would it be integration?
Integration, thank you. Immersion, okay, and integration. Sure, yeah, that was exactly it. So yeah, so immerse yourself fully, integrate the concepts, and then, or it's like immerse, complete the thing that you're going to do, then move on. So with habit change, if we took on, you're like, I want to floss, I want to meditate, and I want to start reading. You want to take on these 3 habits at once. What I've found to be most effective for the great, great majority of people, this is also what the books that I've read talk about and the research and the study, is set up 3 micro habits. So it's floss 1 tooth, read for 1 minute a day or 1 page per day. And then if you want to meditate, it's like meditate for 30 seconds or a minute per day. Mm-hmm. The whole reason is if we try to do what most people would, and they're like, all right, I'm going to floss every day, I'm going to read 15 pages a day, and then I'm going to meditate for 20 minutes a day. they haven't created and reallocated the time in their day. They haven't created any of the foundational habits. Their amygdala gets triggered because it perceives this as danger, triggers your fight or flight response. And then that's why so many times when we say we want to change a habit, we end up running away from it. And we're like, well, why, this doesn't make sense. I said I want this. I know I want this. This is going to help me. Why do I keep stopping myself? If we understand how our mind works, because even when I listed off those first three, like floss one tooth, you know, read for a minute, like even your face was like, that's easy. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. Because your amygdala doesn't get this shot and you don't go into fight or flight, then you're able to do it repeatedly and start to build some momentum and some consistency. You're also achieving and it's satisfying because you're like, hey, I did it for 7 days in a row. This is great. I've never stuck to it for 7 days in a row. And then that builds over time. So it's a long answer to a short question, but I think there's a lot of important pieces where we can get caught up in, you know, what's the one thing or the one trick or the one or how many habits or how many days, when in reality, if we focus on the long game and focus on not trying to meditate for 30 days or trying to work out for 30 days in a row, it's about becoming the type of person that never misses a workout. It's like you said, it's becoming the type of person that gets up no matter how their alarm feels. And for me, being a lifetime snoozer, and now, I mean, in the 2 weeks leading up to the speech, I was up at 4:30 all but 2 days. And I slept in till 6:30 one day, which in college would have been insane. Like waking up at noon was hard in college. So it's anything that I'm teaching, it's stuff that I'm practicing and that I've tried and I've tested, because for me to be able to speak with integrity about this stuff, I need to be doing it. I could never be that person. I would never want to be that person that's like, hey, I read this great book on habit change. Here's what you need to do to change your habits. Meanwhile, you know, my habits suck. It's like that for me. Part of this journey of entrepreneurship is about me growing and developing into the person I want to be too. It's not just about making money or starting a business. It's about creating something that encourages and challenges me to be the best version of me possible. And then I help others do that as well with what I learn along the way.
Yeah. And that's exactly why you're on the podcast.
Thanks, man.
You know, yeah, because it's so huge and yeah. You know, habits, it's just like your identity has to be a part of everything. And it's like, the thing that drives like me personally is I have these three core values that I follow, and there's three. I worked years ago with Lori Kennedy. I'm not sure if you know who she is, but I worked with Lori in Canada, and she was in the health and wellness space. Mm-hmm. At the time I was doing health coaching, and she had me like do all my core values down to three. And I took these three core values and then I made them part of my identity of being, you know, like the best guy in the world. And I think, you know, whatever you said, you have to have that identity to shift you forward. So you have that vision, that mission of the future. And, mm-hmm. and it's like breaking it down to the simple is so easy. And then eventually you can like in the morning, I put time, like I'll read for 15 minutes. I'll exercise for 25. Mm-hmm. I call a visionation. Yeah. Like I visionate, mm-hmm. and I do that for about 20 minutes. And it's an interesting concept of how I do it. I'll explain it another time, but it really gets me to vividly see everything. And I shift in color. I shift in black and white, gray. Mm-hmm. I look close. I look away, mm-hmm. and I see it. And then I stand, you know, I try to stand tall. So I'm in power and I do this power stance thing, mm-hmm. you know, with yep. the hands. And then the alarm goes off. And then I move to the next thing, which is a journaling. Yeah. I call mm-hmm. it Reverend J, R-E-V-J. And the journaling I do for 15 minutes, which I learned from Ben Hardy, had a journaling course. And I've been in stoicism since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like an essential thing. But eventually, like you said, you know, you do it a minute a day and say, you know what, I'm going to do this for 2 weeks. Even if you want to do it for 20 minutes,
yep.
you can.
Yep.
But the thing is to train in the simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes easy. And then you could say, okay, I have a 3-hour window, you know, 5 to 8 or 5 to 7. Right. You know, would you suggest like making like say I'm going to floss my one tooth. Mm-hmm. And then I have more than that. And then you know, exercising, doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But would you say putting like a timeline, say like 2 weeks, and then just sticking rigidly to that 1 minute, so it's so easy, even if you want to do more, or should you do more if you want to do more?
Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be to that?
Yeah, I like, well, and before I answer that, the concept or the that you were just covering on like values and your identity, that's literally some of the starting blocks that people don't even think about when they're starting to change a habit. They go like, I want to wake up earlier and I want to work out more. And you ask them why, and they're like, well, you know, I want to be in shape, or that's what you're supposed to do. And so many people are living a life of supposed to, and not even pausing to think like, did I ever want that to begin with? And if I want to be more physically active, it's like, how many people I talk to go, I hate running, I don't want to run. I'm like, you don't need to run. Like, for years, I barely ran at all, and I was in some of the best shape of my life. And that's not just my story, that's many people's story. So it's about understanding what you want. But a lot of people, so this is typically where I'll get it, is people go, I want to change a habit. And we got to backtrack. I said, well, what's your goal? Because if we don't know what the goal is, we don't know what we're working towards, we have nothing measurable. It's just like, I just want this. You know, what's the goal? Then we go back, why? And what are the values you're going to embody on the way to your goal? And the thing is, I think a lot of people don't set those values up when they start. They don't get clear on that. And where they end up is going, I want to make $1 million. And then something that's a little questionable comes up. Maybe not as honest, maybe not as, you know, totally legal. And they go, well, I set this goal. And your mind's like, you just said you want to make $1 million. You didn't say there were any values behind it. But if someone goes, I want to make $1 million with honesty and integrity through service, through doing something that contributes something meaningful, well, then all of a sudden, a lot of options get cut off in a really fantastic way. By having our values and our why drive our decision-making for the goals that we set, we are much better able to say, no, this doesn't align, this doesn't fit, and then say hell yes to the things that really click with us, that align with us, that connect us with the people that we want to be connected with. And so you said, when it comes to habit change, it's like, all right, we're flossing the one tooth and we're reading for 30 seconds a day or whatever, one page a day, these micro commitments. Do we give ourselves the freedom to go longer if we want? So here is, and again, I feel like many times I give like caveated answers, but it's because of the experience I've had in my own life and with my clients. So on one hand, here's what I'll say is I think that's a reward. And if you're encouraged to do it and you're loving meditating, you're like, I'm going to do 20 minutes. Fantastic. Here's where I got hung up was, so let's say for me, part of my morning routine now is meditation, journaling, and reading. And so let's say I committed to right now, and literally right now, I do 5 minutes of each per morning. But let's say I went, oh, I love reading, and I know I have work starting in an hour, and I'm going to start with reading, and I've got my two other commitments to hit. If I hit my 5 minutes and then keep going at the expense of my other habits, I don't think that's as good, because then we start to lose the momentum and the continuity for all the habits. This is where doing multiple habits at once has some pluses and minuses. Yeah. But if, let's say, that's my last one, right? So I've already meditated, I've already journaled, and now I'm going to do my reading, and I've got 40 minutes left until work. If you want to keep going, absolutely. That's fantastic. That's the point, is that you want to become the type of person that loves to read every morning, that never misses a day reading. So you're working on that identity shift, again, rather than the outcome. So when it, what I think too is so important in our goal setting is acknowledging the sacrifices we're going to make. And again, back to the conversation of values, if family and relationships are important to you and you start to let your habits consume you to the point where you're so routine, you're like, no, I can't go out because I need to be in bed at 8:31 every night. And I get up at 4:33 and I have to do this at this exact time. That's where it becomes rigid and becomes almost a prison versus your habits and routines enabling discipline. Because for me, when I get up at 4:30 on a weekend, crank out a bunch of work, get my chores done, go do the shopping, and then it's noon, if I got my commitments done for the day, I'm set. If I want to read for another 20 minutes, if I want to keep going, awesome. Mm. And to your question, but because it's like, hey, I've already knocked out my important stuff for the day. But to your question of should we allow ourselves to go beyond? As long as it's not at the expense of the other core important things in our lives, and I would say keeping it to that minimum is actually better for most people starting out, because your mind will go, we don't have time for this. We don't have 5 minutes to read. You know, like any new habit, it's hilarious because of course you have 5 minutes, but my brain constantly is like, we don't have time for this. We can't do this. We have other important stuff to do. So if you catch that and you go, oh, we're just doing 2 minutes. We're just doing 1 minute actually. And your brain goes, oh, okay, well, yeah, we could do 1 minute. But then if every time you end up doing 20 or 30 and trying to just push it and max it out, you're not focused on the shift, you're focused on just the result in the day, then your brain's going to start to go, no. You said 20, you said 1 minute last time, it was 20. And it's like, versus, no, I hit my bare minimum. For me, when it comes to habit change, I like to set bare minimums. So no matter what, I hit 20 minutes of movement a day. No matter what, I hit 5 minutes of meditation per day. And I'd be lying if I said I hit it all the time. I'd be lying if I said it was perfect, but this isn't about being perfect either. This is about progress over time and that trending line getting better and better. And that's why I have such specific tracking. So I can literally say, what percentage am I at for the year in hitting my goal? And then I have notes, then I have timing to be able to say, okay, what was it that was off? And then I can tweak and recalibrate, because so often we get overwhelmed by the complexity of it. When we can simplify it down, start with small, easy, chunkable, tiny little goals, and then do that consistently, that's going to be what's really going to lead to change. The consistency is really what most people struggle with. So that can be the focus of the challenge rather than reading 20 minutes a day. It's like, no, I just want to be consistent with my 1 minute. That's the goal. That's it. I hit my 1 minute. I hit my bare minimum. So if you want to do more, great, cool. But on the day where you're like, I can't do anything else and I'm exhausted and I didn't do it in the morning and I'm so tired, I just need to go to bed. You're like, but I just need to do 1 minute. That's where it really becomes powerful.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, and I'll have some habits that I love reading. I'm a reader. Like I learned, like Zig Ziglar would say, he read 4 hours a day. I do about 2 hours, roughly about 2 hours a day. And sometimes that habit, I'll be like, you know what? I don't really need to do this one because, you know, I'm really enjoying this one. But for me, I have to keep it all aligned because it all has like a circadian rhythm to me where it's all adding to my day. So it must get done.
Yep.
And it's powerful once you get in that rhythm because you serve your deeper self first before you get to serve others.
Yes.
And I believe that's huge. I mean, I'm a avid workout guy. I love working out. Since the COVID thing, I've been doing body weight workouts.
Same.
And not really weights anymore. So I've been really getting into push-ups and squats and lunges, just simple things. I have kettlebells too. But it's getting, you know, the system, man. Once you have that system down, and an acronym for system, which you know, you may or may not have heard of, is like save yourself time, energy, money, and sanity. I put that at the end I put systems because I was like, this keeps you sane. Like for my clients, I have a 13-step system and I read that out for them and they're like, right, sanity. I said, yeah, because you know, you have to, you know, when you're building the business, or building, you know, assets, you know, you're the most important asset, you know, you are the asset of wherever you go. So when you create that, you build a calm confidence in yourself and it's huge. And that's why when I came across your work, and guys, if you haven't been to Brian's website, please go. His PDF is awesome. I'm like reading it. I'm going to like, I see things that I can do on my PDF for my future thing. I was like, This guy's good. And then his videos are action packed with information, pen and paper, and just take what you're learning, because Brian has these videos and he packs a lot into them. And the thing is, if you take a pen and paper and write it down on like a colorful notepad and maybe put it on an index card, you could start with those habits that get you going. And then, you know, Brian has a course that goes deeper into actually putting these into your life. So you're giving yourself time, because if you put in the right right habits, and you're motivated for motives and you're inspired within yourself and you connect with them both, you're going to end up finding more time, right? When you get the right habits, dude, you just, it's like, it's just speed. you know, to everything else you do. Like you said, your one client had so much time and he didn't know what to do, which is crazy. Yeah. I can always time.
And the thing I love about that, I like to phrase it as creating time, because, you know, we're not finding any additional time in the day. There's 24 hours. It's right. We're creating space more than anything, really. Yeah. If I'm thinking about it, it's like we're creating white space for us to do the things and prioritize the things that are most meaningful and most impactful for us. Because, for example, leading up to the speech that you attended, I work my day job. So I'm working a day job in corporate America as I'm building towards this this dream of entrepreneurship. The timing has been so unpredictable. You know, there's some days where it's like, hey, we might end at 5:30 like we expected. Typically it's been more like 6. And prior to this, it was pretty much 5 on the nose. It was solid 5. We're good to go. But over the past 6 months, we've been 7:30. There have been 12, 13 hour days. It's like, it's been crazy. Yeah. And what I've also found that's been so important about the mornings is that's my most untouchable time. That's the time with the least opportunity for disruption when I can really take care of me. And especially with the time that we're in, with COVID, with everything, like I have had some real ups and downs. I think everyone has, and I think we still are. That's the other thing. We're not like out of this and back to normal. I think it's so important to recognize and acknowledge that, because you know, I'm a guy who teaches on habits, and I was struggling with my habits. I was overwhelmed. This was a circumstance that was unprecedented for everyone, that we didn't know where to begin or where we were going. And for a while, my choice of self-care was wine and donuts. So it's like, so that was not, that was taking me down a not so great road. You know, like, hey, in moderation, fantastic, super. But when it's 6 donuts in a sitting and a bottle of wine, that's, you know, that's when we're going to the extremes. Mm. So what I've realized is that untouchable time, that time that is just for you, many times, like, it's not when it's easiest. That's the big thing. People go, if I had more time, I would do X. If I had more time, I would do Y. But oftentimes the time that is available for that, that no one can touch and interrupt, is the time that's the hardest for most people to get to, myself included. And so I realized, listen, Brian, you're not sure when your day is going to end in terms of your work day for your day job. And, you know, I'm committed to make sure that I do a fantastic job there. I do my job to a level that I believe is not just adequate, but that I'm really delivering on the promises I made in that role. But also I'm like, I have people in my company depending on me. So how do I balance this? Because we all know the feeling. It's your day, you expect to end at 5:30, ends at 7:30. You're drained. It was stressful. You're fighting fires all day. Everyone's stressed. You just come, you sit down, you close the computer at the end of the day, and you're like, I barely have energy to do anything. I just need to decompress. I need to unwind. But if you got up at 4:30, did your workout, did your meditation, did all your routines, and then spent 30 minutes or an hour on the thing that you really care about, what I found for me is it reduces anxiety, because I go, I took a step forward today. I'm one step closer to that being real. Whereas in the past, I would have just dismissed it and go, hopefully I have energy in the evening, and if not, I might not. Whereas now more than ever in my life, I'm making the concerted effort to create that white space, create that available time, so that, because if I say this is my first priority when it comes to my professional life, my calendar better reflect it. That's a quote I mentioned as well, as Peter Scott said, show me your calendar, I'll show you your priorities. So I looked at that, and I mean, I remember I worked with Peter years ago, and I was like, does my calendar show that? If I say this is as important as I feel it should be, does the calendar reflect that? And so now it's like getting up early, getting work in. I mean, you know, I'm on the East Coast or the West Coast. So it's like, I was up at 4:30 my time. You know, our interview's at 7 a.m. We're going till 8 a.m. Then I go to a full work day. Then I'm going to work on my business after. And so much of the changes that I've worked to make and the things that I've learned and the things I work to embody, I want to live as the example first, because Dean Graziosi had a great quote where he said, we need examples more than we need advice. So I would much rather. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. Like, I would
say
much
it again,
rather.
One more time.
We need examples more than we need advice. And so, for everyone listening, think about who motivated you more to get to the gym. Was it the person who was like, you need to work out more, you need to go do this, and you're like, you don't even go? Or was it the person that wakes up at 5 every day and gets their workout, and you're like, man, you know, that person just has it locked in, and you're like, maybe I should start. And so when it comes to the things I do with my podcast, with my book, with my coaching, with speaking, with anything, my goal is not to establish myself as the untouchable expert who has it all figured out, because that's just not real. Like, my goal is to actually pull the masks off. And like I was telling you in pre-show, it's let the results speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about the tough days. You just read the email you were telling me about this morning, the email I just sent out to my list. Like, that wasn't about being locked in and feeling ready to go and my habits are so perfect that everything's great. It was yesterday, I felt all over the place. And Noah, was interesting. Yesterday was the first time I'd snoozed in a long time and I missed my morning habits. I said, I'll do them later. And all of a sudden my life felt just totally off and I felt stressed and tense. This journey isn't about being perfect. And the more that we as coaches and as people that want to help people can be vulnerable, but also do the work to learn and apply the lessons and then share that with people, that's where we create real connection. You know, we met through Sean, and Sean was one of my best friends, and losing him was one of the hardest things in my life, because that was one of my, not only my best friends, but one of my biggest coaches and mentors. And what he taught me so much about was, he calls it, as speaking, shave the legs off your pedestal. People will put you on a pedestal when you're on stage, but when you can genuinely go, guys, like, it's not this. It's like, we're here. We have the same problems, the same fears, the same doubts, even if we come from totally different worlds. When we're able to open ourselves up in that way and do it genuinely, that resonates in a world that is especially getting more and more superficial with trying to present a certain reality on social media. So many people want to present, you know, the highlight reel when their life is in the gutter. And I don't mean that necessarily. I mean, like, emotionally or mentally or the relationship that looks perfect on the
Ferrari.
The rented for, yeah, that's right. Don't even get me started on that. That's yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm an expert. You want to learn how to, yeah, that stuff's just, we don't even need to go there, but it's the vulnerability of sharing the journey and sharing the ride and not saying renting a Ferrari and say at 22, I got this. And if you want to be like me, cause they're just trying to get something. Mm-hmm. I think the real service that we bring is when we're able to share honestly and genuinely and be the example, it's be the example of, here's what it looks like to be your full self and your flawed self and to have ups and downs, but also continue to progress in spite of the challenges. Because if you try to tell people you're perfect and you got all your habits locked in and it's never a challenge, they can't relate. Right. And I think part of the reason I've been able to help people is because of how much I've struggled with so many of my habits. And I'm fully transparent on that, but I also do a lot of work and study in order to be able to help people through that. And I continue to study, because another quote I love, and I got this from another speaker at Sean's event, and I'm blanking on his name, but he said, find people who have gotten the results you want and continue to get the results that you want.
Yes, I've heard that.
Because I heard for years, you know, find people who've gotten the results you want and learn from them. And I'm like, oh, that's great. But that second piece of, and continue to get the results. Right. These are the ones who achieved it, not just once and got lucky. Now they sell a concept and they didn't really fully understand. It's the people who've continued to succeed over time in spite of the challenges. They've been able to flex and bend and be agile enough to adjust to the market and to their life changing. And that's why everything that I do with habit change has flexibility built in, because if the system's too rigid, it breaks.
Right. And it's like, you know, the structure of it's dynamic. It's like the river of coherence, where if you go, you know, over too much, it's flexibility. If you go over too much, you're too rigid. You have to meet in the middle where you yes. have to be dynamic, kind of like yes. Anil. And one thing I wanted to say that I learned from Sean is that, you know, one thing he did say that stuck out to me when we had a session together, and, you know, he said, commitments can be broken, but your devotion to something can never be broken. I don't know if I'm butchering it, but pretty much, you know, something that, you know, your devotion to something, when you're devoted to habits, it's like you're 100% responsible, man, 100%. And there's no fuzzy lines, and there's only bright lines. So when you're devoted, you're in a bright line. And it's like, I wake up at 5 a.m. I went to bed at 1 last night. I'm going to have to suffer through the whole entire day today. Whose mm-hmm. fault is that? Mine. But when I commit, I can break it. But when I devote, I just do it. And then, you know, I can oscillate because I know my energy waves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt one of them here. I was a little bit sleepy. And then I woke up again. And but you could feel your algorithms in your body. But forming those habits, Brian, will, like, if you're a business builder, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're someone just looking to be a solopreneur or own just a business, having these habits will be your success. Because one thing about owning a business, it's not about the money, like you said. It's about, for me, it's about winning. Like, mm-hmm. I love when I win. I love when I win and I can help a client and I could serve somebody like you do with your coursework and your course. You know, if you when you go to Brian's website, you're going to see some testimonials of his, of some of his students that went through this course mm-hmm. and they gained success and they're still journeying, you know, but they've taken, you know, they're not just being the Chinese word is a rambushur. They're not just being a hero in the beginning. They're mm-hmm. going through it to the end and know that it's a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
But there's the AM and PM bookends, and I'm sure you teach them both in your course. So, mm-hmm. you know, without further ado, I know we're limited for time. Brian, thank you. I appreciate you coming here and teaching us about habits. And mm-hmm. yeah, please go visit Brian's site if you're really serious about motivation, inspiration, and having something that can change your life for the best, you know, to go from good to great to world-class. Please visit Brian's site. Do you have any last words, Brian?
Yeah, man. And I love the point that you were just making about this being a continual journey. And for everyone watching, it's like, know that myself, Ray, it's like everyone that you look up to and emulate is still on the journey. And anyone who tries to tell you they've got it figured out, I would be very cautious and I would probably run the other way if I was you. But the people that are doing the work, the people that are honest about it, and the people that resonate with you, find the people that resonate with you and that click with you, because that's a big piece of this journey, is take the time to check in with yourself, find out what it is that you want to do, and then be willing to do the work and get uncomfortable and create that time for it. No one's going to give you extra hours in the day. No one's going to spoon feed it to you. And honestly, we wouldn't appreciate it if that did happen. We would just dismiss it like so many other things we get for free. So recognize we're all doing the work. We're all in the process together. Find the person for you that has achieved what you want to and continues to, and is going to be genuine and honest with you about the journey and help you through the pitfalls, the ups and downs, and then be willing to do that work daily. That's one of the last things I'll leave you with. I struggled with this many times. I pushed back against this many times. I just was trying to find the shortcut. The reality is it takes the daily work, because what we do daily, what we do habitually, is what we become. So if you want to get started with that work, check out my site. You'll get a pop-up and you can download the PDF straight away. That's free. You'll get additional videos after that in your emails. And if you want to dive in and you feel like you click with what I've been sharing today, please come contact me, because I do this work because I love helping people. And I tell people that all the time. And oftentimes people go, oh, I'm going to reach out, and they never do. And I love connecting with people. So if you have an aha moment from today, if there's something you'd like to share with Ray or me, please reach out, because we do this because we love helping people. So if there's anything you'd love to share about your aha moment, or you'd like to just get connected, please reach out.
And Brian, we'll write you back. I heard over the Penn State when you were speaking, I think you spoke to some of the students that were already there,
mm-hmm.
You know, prior, but yeah, reach out, man. He's a real person and he will talk to you and help you. So you'd be surprised if you're just an email away, man.
Yep.
And again, thank you, Brian. And I appreciate your time here with Beyond Failure to Reach Success, man.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. I went back and watched it 3 times. I might watch it a 4th, because I believe in, I'm a lifelong learner. I believe in your whole entire life, you're going to earn the learn on everything. And I wanted to share some insights that clicked for me, that kind of illuminated my light bulb, you know, and kind of giving me a course of deeper thought so I can put these in play in my life. And one thing about this, when you guys listen to these podcasts, you know, don't just hear, but listen with the intent of looking for a golden nugget that you could snatch up and you could just implement into your life by like planting that seed, that positive thought seed, and letting it grow and sprout and helping you out. So I want to go over some insights that I had during this interview. And one of them was said by Brian, who was referring to something Jason Goldberg spoke about, which was immersion and integration. And I'm going to read verbatim what they said. Immersion is a concentrated amount of time on the thing you must complete. And then integrating, for me, means taking what you're learning. Maybe it's a one impact skill that will change your life for better. And taking that and integrating it, speed of implementation, into what you need in your life right away. So you learn and you apply, you learn and you apply. And for me, my takeaway is there's a skill I'm looking to get better at. So I'm choosing 4 months to immerse myself in this one skill and then integrate it into my life, my business life, right away. And that's one thing I took, the I and the I, right? And another thing that Brian discussed was core values, getting them down to who you are and what you stand for. And what happens is when you embody the practices of knowing your core values, you filter your life through these core values. And then you embody them to the goal of what you're looking to accomplish. You know, for instance, you know, one of my core values is fearing less by being curious. Integrity, right? And mastery is a huge one for me. And I use all three of these to get to the goal so I can accomplish it. There's two great quotes that I absolutely loved. And one was by the OG Dean Graziosi, who grew up in the area that I'm surrounded in. We need examples more than we need advice. I'm going to repeat that again. We need examples more than we need advice. I love that. So how in your life can you be the sample example, right? Because you can tell people what you're going to do, but isn't it better to show them what you're doing and let them see it and then live by the example? Then they'll come and ask you questions, right? We need examples more than we need advice. I'm excited when I heard that. That was an aha moment for me. Another thing, Sean Stevens said shaved, and Brian's reiterating it, and I think it's good to hear these quotes, right? Because we hear them, and then we just kind of like, okay, next quote. I needed the next quote. Shave the legs off your pedestal. And as leaders, that's something, you know, when I saw that, I said, yeah, you're right. That's what we have to do. And as a guide, I have to do that so I can connect with the person in front of me. You know, so, you know, basically a lesson I learned from one of my mentors, Brian Johnson, and he says, and I believe this was a lesson done by one of the Stoics named Epictetus, who says we have to speak to our, you know, guests, some people call them clients, like we're in a hospital bed next to them. Like we're just getting over the illness of what they're beginning and going through now, and we speak to them like we're in a hospital bed, right? Not up here, not down there, but right there with them. Maybe we're just that much ahead of them, and we're helping and supporting them to get to their own promised land, right? And another thing Brian said, we become what we do habitually. We become what we do habitually, right? When you create phenomenal habits, micro habits to macro habits, and you implement and apply them into your life, they become a part of you. And it's just something you don't even think about, like brushing your teeth, right? Unless you're someone who has to think about brushing your teeth. I don't brush my teeth. It's already an act, right? Another thing that Brian said to me was a microwave mentality. Oh, my God. That blew my mind because we're in the world of the age of dramatic distraction where we just want instant doot-doot-doot without doing the work. And we want to become like Neo in the Matrix when he plugs in and he gets all those martial arts skills and all those right away. Wouldn't that be amazing? But the thing is we must do the hard work, right, to move us toward what we need. And things happen, but they happen slowly, right? They force multiply on a slower level until we get there. The microwave mentality, man. Think about that one, huh? And a book recommendation that he mentioned, I'll put it in the links below, And there's going to be an Amazon link, and you guys could get that book. And I picked it up. It's called One Small Step Can Change a Life. One Small Step Can Change a Life. It's by Robert Moorer. And it's Kaizen Habit. And it's pretty amazing that when you're on this personal development journey and you're choosing to immerse yourself and integrate in these concepts to put in your life so you can get better, right? Just hearing these things are going to make you better. So again, thank you for listening. I just wanted to thank you. And I appreciate your support and love your comments below, man. Take care.